pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Hour number three already upon us here, underway. Coming about 30 minutes from now, Stan McDonald, the Alabama Ethics Commission. That seems like a very mundane, just inside baseball thing going on in the Alabama legislature with the ethics situation, but whatever you think of that, it's going to get contentious. It's even borderline nasty, I would say. But yesterday we heard from Matt Simpson, and we'll hear from Stan McDonald here in just a little bit. And then also on Monday, we'll hear from Lynn Stewart, former Supreme Court Justice, now on the Ethics Commission, in defense, or I guess they're in opposition of Representative Simpson's bill. But we'll hear from Stan here in about a half hour, so stay tuned for that. But joining us now, we heard from his opponent a little earlier in the program, but now we got our good friend, former state senator Dick Brubaker, running for that Republican nod in the 2nd Congressional District. Senator, good morning. How you been?
Man, I've been great. Did an interview this morning, got two or three more to go during the day, so pretty typical day on the campaign trail.
Well, I just appreciate you making time for your old buddy Jeff Poor here. I may have prodded you along on this journey you're on now, but hopefully you're not going to resent me someday for that.
I
didn't know any of the other people who would run, but when you saw that with the second that court decision came out, I looked at it and this is a seat Dick Brubaker could win probably.
Well, it is, and you know, it's a shame that, you know, I've obviously, my opponent's been, has gone negative for weeks now. And I guess when you're behind, that's what you do. You go negative. But I've made a decision not to. My staff has produced a lot of negative ads about her, and I told them I'm not doing it. And the reason is, I mean, you go negative on other Republicans, you drive up their negatives and help Democrats win. And I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to be part of it.
Well, other than that, and it's just you're no newcomer to politics. It's just kind of part of it, I guess. But how's the campaign going?
Campaign's going very well. The polls look very good, and the you know, I think people are realizing that only the big difference is between my opponent and myself is that I actually live here, raised a family here, run a business here, signed the front of a paycheck. I didn't just move here last October to run for Congress. And also, I know how. I mean, I had a legislative record of getting things done, solving problems. And in spite of the way that my record is represented currently through negative TV and negative mailers, I think people that follow politics know I gave a very productive conservative leadership, and I'll do the same when I go to Congress.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the race itself, and I may be absolutely off base here, but just kind of as an observer, it looks like your base of support, and we can base this off the outcome of the primary, is really kind of the north part of the district, and where she seems like she's going to be strong, at least is probably in the southern part. I mean, like, how do you look at that? And do you look at this as a campaign or an election where you got your hometown maybe locked up, and you look at running up the score there, or
well,
do you look down south and trying to pick off?
No, we're votes? I mean, I'll be campaigning in Phoenix City this afternoon, so I mean, I'm campaigning everywhere. The guy who got the most votes down south is Greg Albrecht. And they're like, and in Mobile County, I think there were 140 votes between me and her. So I think the difference is where people know me, I'm very strong. And where people don't, her negative ads have more effect. And I think that's really all that boils down to. I mean, she has spent over $1 million doing nothing but misrepresenting everything I've done, lying about me. And in Montgomery, where people, you know, obviously know me very well, my numbers haven't moved at all in spite of that. Now, where people in the southern part of the district don't know me, you know, negative advertising is more effective. Because let's face it, nobody knows her at all. She just moved here last October. And so she's able to create a persona and put it out there. But, you know, we'll just see. And, you know, some people say I'm making a mistake not going negative on it. But if all negative campaign is just going to be lies and misrepresentations, I'm not doing it. I mean, lying about people is wrong. When just because you're in a political race doesn't make it all right. I mean, not for believers, anyway.
Well, do you find this to be the case with your hometown supporters? Like I said, the initial stages of this, I was talking to your consultant, Dave Mowry, about this. We were just kind of like, well, what do you think? And you being a guy in that part of the district, like you're a household name practically, 95% name ID, and the Brubaker's got it, you know. And I mean, people know the Brubaker name, right?
Yeah, sure.
Does that lend itself in this race?
Well, I mean, it certainly made a big difference on election day. We outperformed, you know, our internal polling had me getting about 36% of the vote on Super Tuesday. We got 40. And our internal polling had us carrying 7 counties, carried 8. So, you know, we outperformed our own poll. And so, you know, and a lot of that does have to do with name ID, but, you know, you don't know, you get name ID by actually living somewhere and serving your community for a lifetime. And, you know, some of the things that, she's attacking me on, I mean, they're just not, Jeff, you know, as well as I do, they're just not true. And I know people on TV stations don't want to get into it, but if you look at the claim she makes in the last mailer, like, oh, he's a Trump hater. Well, if you look at who's, you know, my name's on Trump's donor list. I didn't see hers last time. And the Veterans for Trump endorsed me, not her, but I'm a Trump hater because I complained when, right after Trump got elected, he wanted to put a tariff on transplants. Would have killed the Airbus. I mean, that's what Airbus said. And they asked people in public office to start lobbying against it. Now, thankfully, President Trump, like he usually does, listened and changed the proposal. But that's what she's attacking me on, doing what was right for Mobile. Now, she didn't live here at the time, so she probably doesn't understand what the context of that statement was, because she was living in Texas.
How much of a factor has that been? I mean, I always find that to be kind of an exaggerated thing. And I think it was exaggerated in the first congressional district. This allegiance, loyalty to Trump or whatever.
Oh, I agree.
The two candidates there went back and forth. And like, what determined that race was totally separate from even the politics. It was a geographic loyalty.
Turnout, yes, because the area around Enterprise turned out a lot at a lot higher rate than people in Baldwin County. I mean, if that's what you're referring to.
Well, yeah, but like Barry Moore's over there winning 4-1, 3-1. Jerry Carl's only winning 2-1 in his home precincts. Both the voters in the district liked their incumbent. It's just that they like their incumbent a little bit more than the voters on this side of the district. So it's like, but we had all these like kind of ancillary discussions, Senator, about who liked Trump the most and the Club for Growth and the Freedom Caucus and all of this. And
well, now, wait a minute. The Club for Growth, I think the Club for Growth is one reason that Bill Hightower, when he ran, got in so much trouble. I think the Club for Growth matters, especially to people in Mobile.
Right. Well, I mean, but they also backed Tommy Tuberville. And they ran negative ads against Bradley Byrne, and pretty much, I mean, like they impact the race, but just in this race alone, I'm not talking, and I, you know, 2024 is a much different time than what we had, I think, in 2020
You're right. You're absolutely right.
All these little discussions about that stuff, and then you try to put your finger on it, and like, what really matters? And, you know, it's often something completely different from what we're talking about right now.
Well, it's just part of the stew. I mean, if you're going to go negative on somebody, you pick a whole bunch of things that you think some people will care about, and you mix them together. Now, the fact that they're all lies, unfortunately, for people that don't eat, sleep, and breathe politics like you and I do, they sound true. And, oh, this guy is a Trump hater, a tax raiser, and a whatever else you can think of. And you put it in a mailer or you run a TV commercial, and it just gives people a negative impression. And which is what, you know, it's all lies, but it works. That's why people do it.
Well, this is like my sideline analysis here. Oftentimes, and Mo Brooks, not comparing you to him at all, but he was notorious for this, where he spent more time reacting to these attacks and playing defense than really running his own campaign. And like, I told Congressman Brooks, like, do you want to win the debate trophy or do you want to win the election? Stop worrying about this stuff. And I don't know, not that you're doing that now, but do you ever stop and pause and say, okay, I got all these attacks coming. Do I need to respond to this my game?
Well, my campaign staff wanted me to, you know, go negative on her, and I told no. Because, you know, I'll keep pushing my message, which is positive, which is telling people, look, I understand this community because I actually live in it. And I actually raised my kids here and have run a business here. And for you business people out there worried about regulation and federal overreach, believe me, I've been there. Ran a business with 100 employees. I understand. And keep pushing my message. And not only that, I know how to pass bills through a legislative body. I know how to serve my constituency. I've done it before. And instead of spending my time and money trying to blacken her name, I mean, you know, that's why I haven't responded. Not my staff that thinks that I should, you know, run some sort of scorched earth ad on my opponent. I'm just not doing it. It's wrong. And let's face it, it only helps the other side. Barry Moore and Jerry Carl could go negative on each other and not hurt the Republican Party because 86% Republican district. But in a competitive district, if both Republicans drive up each other's negatives, all you're doing is helping the Democrats win the seat.
It is used against you later, and people have long memories, and that there are casualties, unintended consequences to something like this, I assume.
Well, and I think the main thing is, if you take it too far, even if you win, people know you're a politician who'll lie to get what you want, especially when all the dust up, and you become untrustworthy, the state party won't trust you, because they think, you know, just in your own self-interest, you'll sacrifice the interest of the party. And let's face it, the Republican Party needs to hold this seat for the sake of the country. But anyway, you know, my message has been the same all along. I know how. I've got the experience. I've proved I have a conservative record. But most of all, I've lived, raised kids, and worked in this district my opponent hadn't. And I think that's a valid distinction. I didn't just move here to run for Congress.
Well, Senator, we're a little short on time now, but before we let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign, or they want to know what is on your mind. How can they do so?
Well, if they want to know me, they can just call Jeff Ford and ask me what a great guy I am, or they can go to brewmakerforcongress.com.
I don't know you want to put. I don't know you want to put your political future in my hands, there, Senator. Senator, we appreciate you.
Hey, good luck with that baby.
Hey, thank you. Best of luck to you on the campaign trail.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Over State Senator Dick Brubaker there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.